Will you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8? If you have it with you. Luke chapter 8. Video's kind of funny, but it sometimes hits too close to home when you're watching that and you're like, I've been there when my computer crashed on me and I just want to choke it or throw it on the ground. Tonight we're going to talk about peace. Maybe the lack of peace in your life and the reasons why that might be. So we're going to learn, as we've been on this table series for several weeks now, just going through the book of Luke and finding these stories where Jesus is either sitting around a table teaching or standing at the sea speaking to thousands, whatever it may be, just studying the book of Luke. So we're going to continue doing that tonight. In Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse 43. And it says, "And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him," meaning Jesus, "touched his fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped." Now, we've heard this story many times, and we always hear about this woman's faith and that her faith healed her. And that's exactly what it did. What we don't understand, unless you have studied this, if you go back into Malachi, which we won't tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, in the last chapter of the Old Testament, in Malachi, chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "But," and this is prophesied, it says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." Now that scripture sounds amazing, it sounds mysterious, but what it really means, in wings, in this text, is the Hebrew word kanaf, which means the fringe of a garment or the tassels of a garment. So they truly believed when the Messiah came, there would be healing in the fringes of his garment. So it wasn't that this lady couldn't reach Jesus. Yes, she probably was having trouble because of the crowd, but it says she reached to touch the hem of his garment. Now, she got her healing and she kind of got out. She was like, boom, got it, I'm out. Which some of us sometimes do. We come to church, get what we want, and we get out. But Jesus didn't stop there. He noticed something had happened. Someone had touched him. Notice what it says as we look on. Verse 45. It says, Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they're all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware the power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him, and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." So obviously, he wanted her to know it wasn't the hem of his garment, it wasn't the fringe of his cloak that healed her. It was her faith that healed her. But tonight, I want to focus on these next three words that he said to her. He spoke into her life and he said, "Go in peace." He didn't just care about her healing. He didn't just care that she got the physical touch she needed. He also wanted her to go in peace, which meant in wholeness. Complete. How do I know that? Well, shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. Shalom, the presence of wholeness and completeness. That's exactly what Jesus wanted her to feel or to sense. Not just a physical touch. See, we have a physical body. We also have emotions. We also have a spirit. So those three things can walk in wholeness or completeness, and that's exactly what Jesus wants. He wanted her to go in peace, not just healed, but in peace. God wants all of us to walk in peace. This past week, Courtney and I had two simple things that disrupted our lives that we didn't see coming. One of them, I went down in the basement one day, about 10, 12 days ago, and there was water in the floor, and I'm thinking, oh great, what has happened? And it was coming from the hot water heater. So I had to make a call, because my dad's a plumber, but I am not. and I have no idea what to do with that. So I call him first to say, hey, Dad, I got water coming out of the hot water heater. What's that mean? He's like, you need a new one. Okay. So I had to make a call and get that done. Well, that's okay. You know what? We got it taken care of. And a couple of days after we got it taken care of, it warmed up a little bit. We decided to kick our air on. And all of a sudden, we're getting warm air, not cold air. And so we make a call. Hey, we got air problems. So he comes, looks at it. Sure enough, we need a whole new unit. Okay, those two things piled on top of each other, that's a pretty big deal. Those are the kind of things that take you away from peace. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's things in life that happen that take us away from peace. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's spiritual. And tonight, what I want you to understand is God wants us to walk in peace, in wholeness, and complete. So look in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 5. And we'll see another story. Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of whatever lake that is, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. We know him as Peter. He changes his name later and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Now, here's something I want you to understand about this. This is just before Jesus is about to call these men to be his disciples. Okay? Now, do you think he called on Simon for a reason? I do. Because think about this. He jumps into his boat and he says, take me out away from the land. So Simon has to do this. He was busy cleaning his nets. He'd been fishing all night long. But he has him take him out into the water. At that point, Jesus begins to teach. What can Simon do? Here you go, Jesus. I'm going to head back to the shore. No. He's stuck right there. So what's he get to do? He gets to listen to Jesus. I don't think that was by accident. I think Jesus used that as a way to get Simon's attention. Because you're going to find in just a few verses, he's going to ask him to follow him. So it was probably pretty important that Simon was paying attention and listening. Look at verse 4. It says, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Jesus has finished teaching. Simon's done him a favor, so maybe Jesus thought, here, I'll do him a favor. Why don't we just run out here and you catch some fish? This was not a hobby for them. These guys knew what they were doing. They probably caught more fish at night. That's why they fished all night. However, on this night, they didn't catch anything. Peter was actually probably pretty tired because he said, we toiled all night and caught nothing. But Jesus said, come on out here. Let's catch some fish. And before long, they're catching the most fish they probably ever caught. So much so, they got to get the other boats in to get all these fish in. Think about this. And at this point, they're probably pretty excited, thinking, I can't believe this is happening. Look at the amount of fish we're catching, probably not even at the best time of the day. This is huge. This is a miracle. And so therefore, he recognizes Jesus for this. I can see them, you know what, if they were like us, this is the point when they would have their iPhone out, getting a picture so they could put it on Facebook and say, hey, other fishermen, look what we caught. You know what I'm talking about? They're excited about this. Can you imagine how excited they are? However, look at these next few verses. Verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John and the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for now you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Greatest catch of their life, probably. Most fish they've ever caught. But what did they do? They just left it. You see, what became such a huge thing to them, it was their livelihood. It was how they made money. It was everything to them. All of a sudden became nothing because they began to follow Jesus. Many times what we think is huge in our life, our most important thing in life, when we find Jesus, we realize it's not that important. Our value system begins to change, and we find peace in following him. Those things that tend to consume our minds become nothing when we're following Jesus. Imagine this. You think Peter didn't want to go, Jesus, can we at least just sell these? Look at all this fish. Let's just take a few to eat. It says they forsook all to follow him. Forgot all about it. That's pretty amazing. May we begin to see Jesus in this way and notice that our priorities will begin to change. And those things that seem so important to us become so small compared to us following Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. I'll throw it on the screen for you just for time's sake. But it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Who's talking here? 1 Peter. Simon, who became Peter, is saying, cast your cares upon him. Is that me, or is that fishing lingo? Cast your nets, and now he's casting your cares. He's saying, everything you have, throw it to Jesus, for he cares for you. That's how we find peace. By casting our cares upon him. So how do we do that? How do we cast our cares on Jesus? I think there's a simple explanation to that in Philippians 4:6. You know this scripture very well. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. That is casting your cares on him. In everything by prayer. Supplication just means offering a request to God, is all that means. It's a big word. It's fancy, and it's like, what's that even mean? That is just offering your request to God, telling him what you need. But you do that with thanksgiving, and you let your request be known to him. Now, if we look on to the next verse, if it were up to me, if I could write this, I'll tell you what I'd like for that to say. Let your request be known to God, and he will answer them exactly how you asked. It doesn't say that, does it? Let your request be known to God, and he'll answer them in his time. That would be okay. But it doesn't say that. Let your request be known to God. And what's going to happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Can you imagine if Jesus truly did answer some of the prayers that we ask? Garth Brooks even had this figured out. Some of God's greatest gifts are what? Unanswered prayers. I think about sometimes I've heard people talk about praying for a job that they really wanted. And they were really disappointed when they didn't get it. Because they had prayed really hard for it. And were really upset until they found out that company went out of business a few months later. And they're thinking, had I got that job, I would now be out of a job again. Or maybe you can remember back when you were younger, praying for Mr. Right, and you just knew this guy was the one. And now you look back and you're like, thank you, Lord, that you didn't answer that prayer. Or I would be with that guy. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. But when we ask him, when we make our request made known to God, it says the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You're asking for a request, you're asking for fish, and God gives you peace. You're asking for money to pay that bill, but God gives you peace. You're asking for a car that runs, and God may give you peace. It doesn't mean he won't answer your prayer. Look at the lady with the hemorrhage. He not only healed her, but he told her, go in peace. You can believe for those things you ask for. But don't be surprised if God gives you peace. Because what happens many times is we find ourselves thinking we'll get peace when we get that thing we're asking for. If I could only have this $500, then I'll have peace. Until we get the $500, then it's like, if I could only get 500 more, then I'll have peace. If I could only then get this, then I'll have peace. That's why God says, make your request be known to me, but then I will give you peace that passes all understanding. We're human beings. Our understanding only goes so far. God knows exactly what we need. And He wants that for us. But more than anything, He wants us to have peace. We have a request, and God gives us an emotion. Think about that. This is peace that is rooted in Jesus Christ. This is not your Dollar General kind of peace. It's not your cheapest run-of-the-mill kind of peace. This is Jesus Christ peace that only He can give. When we receive this kind of peace, our worries, our fears, and our needs begin to fade away. Like I said before, what's important doesn't seem so important anymore. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus saying this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus said He was giving us His peace. You see, it's a different peace than the world gives, because in our minds, most of the time for the world, peace means the absence of problems or conflict. But with God, peace is something that is present, not something that is absent. He's actually able to give it to us. It has to be there for Him to give it to us. You can't just say, here, I'm going to give you this, and there's nothing there. He's giving us His peace. Therefore, it is real, and it's His peace. He even called it my peace. So here's the question to ask tonight. Do you have faith in Jesus or the faith of Jesus? Because there's a difference. See, the disciples had faith in Jesus, but they didn't have the faith of Jesus. A simple example of that. They trusted that Jesus could do something to help them, but they didn't have the faith that Jesus had to know everything was going to be okay. Matthew 8 is a great example of this. When they're in this boat, the storm is raging. Once again, these are seasoned fishermen. How many times do you think they've been in a boat and a storm roll in? Probably a lot. But this was some kind of storm that they were freaking out. And they're saying, we need help here. What's Jesus doing? He's asleep. He's got peace. It's a different kind of peace. I got to admit this. I actually like storms. I don't get scared of storms. To me, if you got a basement, you can get safe. I don't know. I just like watching them. I grew up in Oklahoma. Everything's flat there. And so you could see them coming for miles. And it was beautiful to see those big thunderheads rolling. And, you know, you hear the guy on the TV cranking it up so you can listen while you're, like, over in the other room looking out the window. And he's talking about how close it's getting and what Doppler radar is doing and all this stuff. And he's telling you all about what's going to happen in this storm. I used to watch these things. It's the most amazing thing to see a tornado touch down. I know you're thinking, this is stupid, but I'm sorry. I would stand in the front door and watch them come by. Now, if it was coming to me, trust me, there were times I was in the cellar. It was scary, but as long as I felt like it was far enough away that I could watch it, I enjoyed watching them. And they do the craziest things. I can remember I was about 12 years old, one touchdown. Our church was right here. There's a parking lot, and then our house was just on the other side of the parking lot. So we're right there, and this thing touched down on top of the church. It was that close. And one of the trees in our yard, there was a hay field right behind us. One of the trees in our yard had gotten twisted with the strong winds of this tornado, and hay was stuck into the tree to where when it all passed by and the tree kind of went back to normal, There was straw, hay straw, just sticking directly. It looked like it had been stuck in there like an arrow. It was the craziest thing. It's amazing what storms can do. But if I was in a boat, man, things are different. Because there's nowhere to go in a boat except down. So I can tell you, I'd probably be freaking out too if I'm sitting in a boat and a storm rolls in and the sea begins to just erupt. I'm probably going to be waking Jesus up too. But you know what? Jesus is unimpressed. These fishermen, they're just, man, they're freaking out. They've never seen anything like it. And here's Jesus just taking a nap. But what's he able to do? He stands and just says, "Peace, be still." See, given what Jesus knew about God, he knew the universe was a perfectly safe place for him to be. So let me ask you this question. What would your life look like if you had the faith of Jesus to know that God has everything under control? It doesn't mean problems aren't going to come. We cannot stop the storms. It's impossible. But what happens when they get there? Jesus had the peace to make it through the storm. And we can have that same peace. He gave it to us. I believe that God is in control. That's one thing you're going to say if you want this kind of peace. I believe God has my best interest in mind. And you know how you'll begin to live? Your anxiety level will go down. You won't be tormented by your own failures. You won't be defeated by your own guilt. You will trust that God has the best thing in store for you. And you know what? You'll even obey Him in times when it's hard because you trust. It's trusting and knowing about Him and His peace. It must be possible because Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." I think if many of us could be honest, myself included, we would be like these disciples. As the boat's sinking, we're probably going to be crying out to Jesus. But that's not such a bad thing. Who better to cry out to than Jesus? Jesus called them little faiths. But nevertheless, they had enough faith to cry out to Jesus. And the peace of Jesus does not mean the absence of problems. It means to know that the boat will not sink. And if it does go down, God is going to take care of you. Just like the woman who touched the hem of His garment. He not only wants to heal you, He wants you to be whole and complete and to walk in peace. That's good news. When we receive salvation, it's not a ticket to heaven. Yes, it is, but it's not all it's for. That's not just what it is. Yes, you're going to be able to go to heaven, but it's salvation is complete wholeness with God, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Our time, our health, our finances, all are God's anyway. So why not trust in Him and walk in His peace? We serve a God who is the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are made in His image, right? Therefore, we have the physical, emotional, and the spiritual lives. And those walk together. When one is hurting, they're all hurting. But you know what? We can keep going. But God wants them all to be whole and complete. When we find ourselves in crisis, unfortunately, a lot of the times the first thing we chisel away is our time with God. Well, I don't have time to read, or I don't have time to pray. I've got to get another job to make more money. I've got to find time to do something else, or I've got to fix this problem. I don't have time for small group or Wednesday night. That's the first thing we tend to chisel away. But if we look at the example of Jesus, He never seemed to be in a hurry. He had the most important job on earth, redeeming the world for us. And although He knew He only had a few years to do it, you never hear of Him like running from place to place. You never hear of Him just trying to get through everybody else and pass by. He even noticed the simple things. He noticed the birds in the air, the flowers. He had time to put His hands on the little children and bless them. The Bible gives us great insight into how time can become your friend rather than your enemy. Jesus understood that. And He walked in peace. Did you know psychologists speak of how important it is for a child to learn to be alone in the presence of their parent? Some children are very clingy. They just cannot let go of mom. They're so attached to her. But when the child is convinced that the mother is available, attentive, trustworthy, and they're convinced they will not be abandoned, that child is no longer clingy or anxious. They actually find their independence that way. They don't need to constantly be touching their mom because they've learned to trust that mom's going to be there if I need them. Does that sound familiar? Let's look at it from our standpoint. The child actually kind of believes that the parent is there no matter what. Whether they're there or not, they have this safety in knowing they're going to be there if there's a problem. That is how we view God. Through prayer and through understanding our life with God, we know He's there. Whether we see Him or feel Him in that moment, we can know He is there. Our anxieties and fears go away based on the presence of our Father. That's good to know. So nothing worse than living life on the defensive end. Have you ever watched a basketball game where the whole time it seems like the ball is on one side of the court? One team is just playing defense. All they're doing is trying to keep another team from scoring. They can't even get it on the other end of the court to score because they're just playing defense all the time. Some of us live life this way. Just constantly in the defense. Just trying to get through the storm we're in, only to find ourselves in another one. Trying to work our way out of that storm, only to find ourselves in another one. Remember the movie Twister? You guys remember that? I love that movie. Once again, it's based out of Oklahoma, and it's all about tornadoes. Great movie. But you know, the whole premise of that movie was showing these people, they weren't just these thrill-seeker, storm-chaser people. Yes, they had fun doing it. But really what they were doing was trying to get their equipment inside the tornado. Why? So they could figure out a tornado as to how it works, what creates the tornado, figure out its movements. Because the more they can predict, the more they can let people know when it's coming. Think about how our technology is today and how many people have been saved because we're able to predict so much more about storms. Now, we don't get them all right. Joplin was a great example of that. There was a lot of people that needed to know that was coming. However, lots of them had shelter already built, ready for when the storm came. That is how we should live our lives, ready for when the storm comes. We maybe can't predict exactly when it's coming. We may not know, but we can be ready when it gets there. You have to look for the warning signs or the danger signs in your own life. Know what things are going to take you away from peace. Look for those things. Cut them off before they get there. Be strategic with your scheduling and your rest. This is going to sound kind of like a motivational speaker for a minute, but hear what I'm saying. Take vacation. Take days off. Take time to rest. Those simple things affect your physical life. Sometimes your emotional life. Because you're never able to let down. And when something is hurting, physical, emotional, spiritual, if you're not taking your time with God, your spiritual life is going to be hurting. And you're going to notice that. These things work together. Man, I have learned the older I get, the more it affects me when I don't get sleep. My parents were here last week, and they came to visit. They don't come very often, but we don't get to spend a lot of time together, so we'd stay up late talking and hanging out together. We'd go to bed really late, and then my dad and I decided to get up and go turkey hunting early in the morning, getting up at like 4:50 in the morning to go get in the woods and wait for this turkey. And I noticed about 11 o'clock that day when we got back home, man, I was wore out. And you know what you find yourself doing? You're short with other people. It not only affects you, it affects those around you. Because of your lack of rest, now you may be short with your spouse or with your kids. You guys know what I'm talking about. This is common sense. But if we notice this and we think about it and we say, you know what? I probably need to make sure I'm getting enough sleep. If simple sleep can affect us that much, think about our emotional life and our spiritual life and how those things can affect us if we don't catch them. That's what walking in peace is. It's trusting in God. It's finding these things that take us away from peace and cutting them off. Or learning to live through the storm. Having the things in place, the proper things in place to get us through the storm. Make yourself laugh. Learn to forgive. You'd be amazed at how far you'll get if you can learn to forgive. And don't let anxiety be a cue to prayer. Let prayer be a cure for anxiety. Let me say that again. Don't let anxiety be a cue to prayer, as in, oh, I'm getting all worked out. I better pray about this. If you will daily spend time in prayer, you'll find yourself not getting anxious. Be anxious about nothing. But in prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, offer your requests to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Are you guys hearing me this tonight? Is this making sense? God wants you to walk in peace. He longs for us to walk in peace. Because once again, when we're in peace, not only does it affect our life, it's going to affect those around us. Therefore, they're going to sense that. Will you bow your heads tonight? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. And God, thank you for your peace. God, thank you that it's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our simple minds. That you know exactly what we need in the exact moment we need it. We have to trust in that. We have to learn to walk in that. And I pray that we would do that tonight. And God, we would do exactly what Jesus told this woman. That we would go in peace. May we do that as we leave tonight. God, the distractions of this world hit us pretty hard all through the week. Lord, it's fun to come in on Sundays and worship you and sense your presence and know that you are with us. But God, tonight, I pray that we would begin to find a way to walk in peace daily. Not just finding this fun time on Sunday to come and worship you, but God, daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day of our life, walking in your peace. Thank you again for that promise. In your name we pray. Amen.